This is Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. We got a big show coming up today. Much to discuss, by God. The Mariners. Unbelievable. Mike Blowers will be with us at 3 o'clock. You want to stay tuned for that conversation. It's always good stuff with Mike. John Clayton at 4 o'clock talking NFL, and then El Hombre, Michael Bradley at 5 o'clock, as he is every Tuesday with us here. And, Dave, this is one of those days I couldn't wait for the show to start. I couldn't wait to talk about it. I was going bananas last night watching that game. I was honestly 10 seconds away from flipping to another channel and just calling it a night. It couldn't have been a worse start to the game. And just, you're just going, oh, my goodness, 6 runs in the first inning. And, you know, McCacken looked, he was dreadful. I mean, let's call it what it is. It was not a good night by any stretch of the imagination. He gives up another run, gives up a total of 7. You're down 7-0 to that offense, to that team, who's arguably maybe the second best team in all of baseball, if you want to put the Giants number one. Going, all right, this is at least it counts as one loss. That's kind of what I was thinking. Like, yeah, this is why the run differential is what it is. When they lose, they get their butt kicked, and when they win, it's close.
Right.
30 seconds away. I actually had the guide up on my screen just looking to see what else was on. Was just going to cash it in and then, you know, go back and watch any highlights if anything notable happened. And then I stuck with it. And I'm proud to say I stuck with it all the way through and so happy I did. I have not been that excited, that emotional about a regular season game since I don't know when. I don't know that I've ever been like that about a regular season game. It was unreal.
I don't want to spoil ahead, but when you talk to Blowers, did you get choked up?
I got choked up. I don't know why. He hit the grand slam, and as soon as he starts pointing to the dugout, I'm sitting there like, he did it. He did it. I had like a lump in my throat. I don't know why. I was out of my mind. It was unbelievable to watch that game and to hear the crowd as intense as they were and to just watch this just kind of slow comeback. Like, they're just starting to chip away. Okay, they're going to make it respectable, but the idea that they're going to win this game, they don't have that kind of offense to come back down 7 runs. They're not built that way. So they're going to make it look respectable, and okay, hopefully they get the next 2, still win the series, you know. That was sort of the mentality. And then I was tweeting. Last night on Twitter was awesome. Twitter can be toxic, as you know, Dave. It can be a very toxic place. Last night it was community. We were all in it together. Just, you know, tweeting, are they really going to do this? Can you believe this? And just, you know, just conversing with strangers, if you will, and just everybody's on board, and the intensity and the passion was just, it was off the charts. It was so much fun, so much fun.
Well, and usually you talk about the mechanics of a game, of what happened and everything. This was one where people are talking about their emotions and how they felt. Now, I don't want to make this on the same par as far as meaningfulness. But you know what this game reminded me of? Reminded me of the NFC Championship game against the Green Bay Packers. As far as I had the story written, I'm putting my notes, you know, and I remember talking to guys like Bob Condotta, who said, oh, yeah, that story, you know, that had written itself.
Yeah.
And then they come back and miraculously win, you know, not the same magnitude because that sent them to a Super Bowl. This just got them the first win of the series. But still, it was kind of that same emotional swing that you were just like, no way. Because when it started off in the beginning, at first you're like, yeah, you know, I'm kind of excited for this McCacken guy. I think he gave up his first hit last night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he had a hit against him in the Colorado game. You're thinking, okay, maybe he can do it. And then you see their hitters, they come in. They had 2 hitters that average over 300, 5 hitters in the lineup that were more than 250. And then even the guys like Miles Straw, I mean, he's batting 263. Who's Miles Straw? You know,
good,
I mean,
center fielder.
Yeah. So, I mean, everybody's hitting. And then, you know, they get a couple of, you know, that was it, the Gurriel hit, whatever the one that was like ricocheted off the mound, and then there was, you know, another one off the shoe that Brantley had that, you know, it was like, they're just going to get lucky. They're just going to keep. The words from John Paul Morosi kept echoing in my mind was like, they're just such a better team. They're just so much better than the Mariners are. And I was like, yeah, that's probably where we're at. And then we're at, you know, down 0-7. I was an hour behind. Luckily, Lefko texts me, goes, "Hey, Dave, are you caught up yet? Are you watching this?" And I was like, I had been caught up at that point or when I looked at the text. But, yeah, I was an hour behind, and I'm just going, all right, I'm just going to fast forward through this thing. And
yeah.
Then Seager hits the home run. And then Dylan Moore, when he pointed, I was like, whoa, it's a little early for that, Dylan. But then you see where that thing landed?
He knew right
upper
away.
Upper deck. Right away. It was like a Zunino bomb. So just so much fun to watch and so cool. And just this team. And you'll hear from Blowers later. He'll talk about what kind of guys these guys are and how many guys he thinks would be on a team that he would be on. You know, kind of throwback type of guys. And I'll be a spoiler alert. Dylan Moore's one of them. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just it's a great group of guys. I mean, you saw Raleigh have a big, what did he, was it base clearing double that he had? I think, was there three on in that one?
Yeah.
So, you know, you had the Seager home run. I mean,
yeah, it was
fantastic.
Just. It was so improbable, which is what made it that much more amazing. I mean, you felt buried. And by the way, I don't blame anybody out there that's listening now that said, I didn't see it. I walked away. I did something else. I went grocery shopping. I don't blame you. It just felt like one of those nights. I mean, you get buried into a 6-0 hole after one. You're just like, oh, man, this is going to be a brutal night for the bullpen, and this guy's a disaster. And again, I will give him credit. He ends up giving up 7, but he did give him 4 innings. I'll give him credit because this bullpen has been used to death, and they were nails again last night. They gave up 1 run against this lineup. They gave up 1 run in 5 innings of work. They were flat-out fantastic, and they have been, with a few exceptions here and there, they have been phenomenal all year. If not for this bullpen, we're not having conversations about them being 9 games over 500 and 1 game back of the Oakland A's. I mean, they were fantastic last night. And just the fact that they were able to muster an offense, that they are not that offense. They're not a team that puts up 11 runs. It's just not what they do. To do what they did last night was unlike any other regular season game I can remember. It just, the intensity, the tension, the... You know, again, on Twitter, you could just feel it. It was just going back and forth with message after message, and people just, man, I'm on the edge of my seat. This is unreal. Is it? You know, and then you get into that situation where there are 2 outs, and there's Jared Kelnick up at the plate. You're like, oh, boy, he struck out 3 times in this game. He looks like he doesn't have a chance. This is where the rally ends. And for him to – for a kid, and we'll talk to Blowers about this, but for a kid – his age, who has struggled as much as he has, and he is struggling big time. It struck out 3 times. Just brutal. You know he is he's just sawdust in his hands with that bat. I need a hit. I got to get a hit. I got to do something. I got to come through here. I could see him chasing a pitch, and he didn't. He didn't chase the splitter, which he chased in the first 3 at-bats. And for him to work a walk there, I thought was huge. Now, is he gonna turn a corner? I don't know. But for that moment, that was a veteran at bat. And then Murphy comes up behind him, and he works the walk as a pinch hitter, by the way. So it wasn't like he had seen everybody. He pinch hit for Shed Long, so he's fresh into the game, and he works a walk. And that sets up Dylan Moore for the heroics. And it was just to see that happen was amazing. And you get 2 different calls here of the Grand Slam. First of all, here's Rick Riz with his call.
Now the left-hander's 1-1 pitch to Dylan. Swing and a well-hit ball deep to left field. Grandma, get out the rye bread and mustard. Grand salami time. Upper deck left field down the line. Dylan Moore with a grand salami. And the Mariners lead the Astros 11-8 in one of the greatest comebacks I've seen in a long, long time.
So there's Riz just on 12 there, and then you've got Goldie on the TV call.
Bases loaded, 2 outs.
I mean, just, it sounds like there are 50,000 people there, first of all, doesn't it? Sounds like that building is packed to the rafters. And then you get the voice crack from Goldie, which is becoming a trademark. And then the silence of just letting the crowd tell the story there. And Blower said what I tweeted out. I wrote, Are you freaking kidding me? Unbelievable.
Blowers had a nice scream there, right, as he calls it. Let's hear that one again. I think he says, I thought he said zow. Wow.
Bases loaded, two outs. Are you kidding me?
I thought they both
did so awesome.
Great job of just letting the crowd play there.
It was amazing.
It was fantastic.
It was amazing. Now, this one I haven't heard, so I'm curious. This is the Astros TV call. I've not heard this yet.
Is it going to be like the Chicago White Sox guy?
No.
It just doesn't say
Hawk
anything.
Who just click, silence. Grand slam, bad guys. This is the Astros TV call.
Raley here. 1-2 pitch is crushed and deep, and that's a slam. Upper deck. Grand slam. Dylan Moore.
Well, at least he made the call.
So they weren't here, I guess, presumably. I don't know if their radio guys are traveling.
Radio was here. That was TV, and TV was not.
Oh, it was TV.
That was from a studio.
Because they sort of muted the crowd noise there. Purposely. You know why, Bob? Because they're cheaters.
They're cheaters and they're babies.
No, I don't want to say anything about those broadcasting guys. But that was fantastic. I've talked to a guy today at a mini mart, and he's like, I took my three kids down to the game, dropped them off, and then I came back and picked them up later. And he said they were so excited, probably, I think, teenage, early 20s. And I guess at the end of the game, a lot of people left because it got late. I mean, what was it, a four-hour game? So they made their way down so they were right on the railing. So, you know, I don't know, was it 15,000, I think, that they
I'm
had?
I'm not sure what the attendance was last
Whatever time. It was, it sounded twice as loud as whatever the attendance was. But, yeah, it was just fun for everybody. And, you know, I just thought, like I said, this game is over, man. This one's going to the Houston Astros. They're just a better team. They're a better hitting team. And that's it. They're done, down 7-0. It looks like 15,000. I can't believe that.
It sounded like 50. I mean, the crowds.
Well, it's a Monday night, I guess. You know, I mean, you're coming off a weekend where on Saturday you had 30,000, 21,000 on Friday night, 21,000 on Sunday. So, but man, it did not sound like just 15.
And no.
At that point, it was probably maybe 10 or 12.
Yeah, I'm certain people left probably, you know, somewhere along that when they were down 7-0, they're just going, all right, this isn't their night. Let's
beat the traffic.
Yeah, let's go home, get, you know,
don't
get into
you
bed
do
early.
That. Don't you do that.
It's just, I don't blame people. I don't blame them. This is not a team that puts up a bunch of runs. This did not feel like, if you were asking me to bet $1,000 last night what was going to happen, I'd be like, are you kidding me? The Astros are going to win. It's 7-0. Are you out of your mind?
Does ESPN still have that probability of to win during the – if you go to Gamecast, I wonder what it was down to.
Had to be like 0.0000001, something like that. I mean, it's just everything was lined up against them. And for them to pull that off, it was not like a regular season game. I understand it's just one, you know, as I had an Astros fan try to tell me on Twitter last night, great, you guys act like you just won the World Series. I'm like, no, it's just there's a lot attached to you. We're one game behind the A's now for the wild card spot. And this team, to a win like that, who knows what that propels them to do when they've got one of their real starters going. With all due respect to McCacken, I give him credit for stretching it out to four innings when he was just getting torched. They were first ball, first pitch, boom, they were lighting him up. He was fooling nobody.
No.
But just that moment, I think, is so huge for the fan base, for that clubhouse. J.P. Crawford, after the game, talking about that.
It was chaos everywhere. I blacked out. I was screaming on deck. I turned around and just yelled to the brick fence wall thing we have right there. You know, it was cool. Oh, my goodness. Moments like that you just dream of when you're a little kid in the batting cages or something. And it's just to finally do it on the big stage. Demo's a bad man. Plain and simple. You a bad man.
I love that. I blacked out.
Well, and, you know, I was going to say, because I know you're probably getting to the point right after Demo's up.
Mm-hmm.
So JP, who was on deck, talked about screaming at the brick background or whatever you call it. And then, you know, all of a sudden we had the drama that mm-hmm. came. But, you know, there was something earlier, too, when Raleigh had his bases loaded double and cleared them. made it 7-3. There was the whole thing. Did Dusty Baker come out and say that the ball was wedged?
Yeah, they were trying to say that it got caught under the fence.
Under the stuffing or the cushion or whatever.
The padding on the wall and the ground. There's a little gap there.
And nobody, reacted like that's what happened.
Well, no, if that's the case, the outfielder is then supposed to raise his arms in the air and signal to the umps that, hey, it's wedged. There's an impediment here, and he didn't do that.
And he was trying to work that kind of a little bit. And then there was the foolishness after the Dylan Moore at bat.
Yeah, it was interesting to see that, because this guy, not that this guy's throwing fastballs up there or anything, he's throwing breaking balls. But he threw the catcher's setting up away the entire at bat, I think, except for the first pitch. He's setting up away, and everything's inside. And then it went really inside, and then he bounced one off his shoulder. And Scott Servais lost his mind, and I loved it. Loved it. Seeing him, I mean, he was heated. And I was like, all right, is there going to be a fight? What's going on? I saw Correa, looking around, shaking his head. And I'm like, yeah, keep shaking your head, Dopey. Nobody's afraid of you. And it would have been the perfect capper. Like, they win the game in an improbable fashion, and they get into a dust-up with the Astros, which then we were debating, are the A's their new rival? Because you had Swerve and Irvin talking smack about him, and they knocked him out after four games, and now the A's are their rival. But here come the Astros, and you got this little brouhaha going on there. And it didn't amount to anything, really, just a lot of jawing back and forth. But I loved it. I absolutely found it delightful, Dave.
Well, and that's, I think, a lot of people in baseball that know when your manager sticks up for you like that, and Scott Servais got really angry. You know who I'm going to say is the going to be the first guy to charge the mound, and he's going to be devastating? Cal Raleigh. That power source.
The big dumper.
He's got a power source now. I mean, and we saw him blow up. Do you see that AAA footage where, this is a couple months ago, I think they were in Minnesota at the time, or no, it was Chicago, and he had that blow up at the ump, the AAA ump.
I don't know if I saw that.
They showed it during the broadcast. I was going to ask him about it the other day, but I thought, I don't want to bring up something controversial. He's, going out there.
The Ty France situation got you a little gun shy.
Yeah, that's right. I was going to say, Cal, you don't have to talk about this if you want, but, I really liked it because he was sticking up for his pitcher.
Yeah.
So, but man, he let the umpire, he got ran. I mean, they threw him out right away, but he said something, and then he turned around and got in his face and everything. The manager comes out, tries to get in between him, but he was so angry. You can see that guy has, he's a nice guy, sort of
quiet,
laid back, kind of a quiet guy, but he's exactly the kind of guy you don't want to get mad. But I'm just loving seeing him, and he just has kind of an old soul, it seems like to me. The way that
seems to be just kind of all business.
He goes about his business, exactly.
Yeah. So. There's so many moments, and we're going to cover this, obviously, throughout the show, but Dylan Moore stating the obvious after the game, best baseball moment of his career so far.
Yeah, it's hard to describe. It boils down to the best baseball moment of my career so far. Beyond my debut, which nothing really crazy happened there in Tokyo, but this was the coolest moment of my career so far. Just with the guys and this team, and it's a special moment for me. I'm gonna savor it.
Yeah, that was so cool. I mean, the second he hit it, he just turns to the dugout and he's pointing. And when I started going, all of a sudden I'm choked up. And I was like, I can't believe this is happening. And then Scott Servais saying what I think everybody was feeling, that, hey, man, there's something unique. There's something special about what's going on here.
They really do. They did believe that, we're building something here really special. It's an awesome group. I am just drained tonight. I have no voice left screaming at the umpires and everything else. But I said it early on, I love this team, and I really do. I just love the way they compete every night.
Yep, we all do. That was so much fun. That was so much fun.
Well, it's important for a team to do something like that. Like I said, it's like something, it's like a recipe. It's something you put like a check in your back pocket. Like, we know we can do this. We've been in this situation before, and here it is. Like you said, arguably the first or second best team in baseball, and they were not intimidated by any means.
Nope. And let's hope they win the series. Win that series. That just makes it even more delightful. And by the way, they've got ticket specials going on tonight beginning at $10. $10 for a ticket. So get out there. Let's hope they...
That's cheap entertainment, man.
That is really
cheap. You're going to get your money's worth.
This team is anything but boring. anything but boring. So, yeah, get out there. The tickets, ticket specials beginning at $10 for tonight's game, and hopefully they can secure that series win tonight. Let's take two.
Well, the Mariners coming on strong. The A's have made a move to try to strengthen their bullpen. They traded for the Cubs reliever Andrew Chafin. The lefty has a 2.06 ERA, 37 strikeouts, and 12 walks in a little over 39 innings pitched this season. Now, he will be under A's control through 2022 and is owed $5.25 million. The A's did have to send two prospects to the Cubs to get Chafin, though.
Yeah, pitching's at a premium. That's what everybody wants. It's what the Mariners need. You know, we'll talk about what they need to target, and it's a starter. I could see them going after some more help for the bullpen because, as we will discuss and have discussed, they have used that bullpen to death. So, you know, give them some reserves, bring in a starter, get these starters to go deeper into games. It'll all help to make this run.
Well, I think the biggest news, though, the most important news to the Mariners, Hector Santiago is back. His 10-game suspension was over yesterday, so he is back. He's on the roster, and he's able to pitch if they need him tonight.
That's great news. I just thought the whole thing was bogus in the first place. But, you know, having to be a guy down, especially, like you said, the way they've been using their bullpen, and they used him pretty good, although it was great that they were able to get two innings out of Swanson.
Yeah.
Last night. And then Seawald was great, went 1-2-3. So
Graveman, yeah.
Yeah, Gravy, of course. But you got to... You know, that I don't know, they're getting thin. I mean, you're starting Darren McCacken, love the kid, was great, but, you know, he's limited.
Yeah, it was a little rough.
Yeah. I mean,
last night was brutal.
It was the second start, and it's a little bit different the second time around than the first time around, but they sure could use the help. And I just thought Hector Santiago got a raw deal in the first place. I wonder how much he got fined.
Did we ever hear a dollar amount?
I hope it wasn't too much. I wonder if they...
If it was a dollar, it was too much.
Yeah.
He got suspended 10 games and presumably fined whatever it was. Meanwhile, not a single player on the Astros was fined a dollar for cheating.
Right.
Cheating their way to a title. Not $1, not one moment of suspension. Yet this guy who used rosin, which is provided out there on the
is
mound.
Is rosin legal, Bob?
It is.
It is, yes.
Just not on the glove hand, I guess. So whatever. He and Rob Manfred really screwed that one up. But, yeah, good news that he's back. They could desperately use it. He's a guy with a little attitude to him, which I like. And at this point will be a fresh arm they desperately need. So this is very, very welcome news. Take two is brought to you by Swedish Cyberknife. Treat prostate cancer with Swedish Cyberknife. Swedish.org/CyberKnifeProstate. Coming up, two outs. So what? That's coming up with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino, coming up at 3 o'clock. Mike Blowers will join us.
What are you, choked up again, Bob?
Getting choked up
again over that Mariner win?
Isn't that weird?
No, I love it, man. I mean,
I don't know why. It wasn't like it was the World Series or the play. It's game 101. But I don't know, for whatever reason, I honestly, in that moment, he hit it. And as soon as I saw him pointing, I started getting a lump in my throat. I was like, he did it. Weirdest moment.
Text it in to 710-710. You bring that up. I got kind of that way when they drafted Shaquem Griffin. I got kind of choked up. I looked at, I remember Ray Roberts and I think we talked about this a couple days ago. And we kind of locked eyes and we both said, they did it. Yeah. And I got like the goosebumps and I got kind of choked up. But, you know, you doing that kind of reminds me of one of the greatest scenes ever. There's a couple of them. After the Monday night win, Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson like grabbing each other's, you know, shirts,
yeah,
and yanking each other and jumping up and down.
Well, Russ was crying, wasn't he?
Do you remember Russ after the NFC Championship game?
The
Packer game when he threw. And I alluded to that because I feel like that reminded me a lot of that, in that that game was over. It was I had written it off.
That's another one I wouldn't blame somebody for leaving. Four interceptions. They were all targeted for, yeah, Jermaine Kearse. It was just dreadful.
And I'm wondering for like Stoney and Divish and Kramer, you know, Daniel Kramer, to talk to them about this game. But I bet you had this one in the books, right? It was like, yeah, they just end up, I mean, there's just no way they can come back from this game. You know, that happened a little bit more in the fourth quarter. But Russell, after that, when he was running around and he was crying, I love those moments. And that's the thing. Somebody, 253, says, there's no crying in baseball.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. I wasn't.
Are you crying? There's no crying?
I didn't. I just felt like it. I just had a lump in my throat. Yeah. I don't know why. It just hit me in that moment. It was pure, unfiltered joy. It was just, that's the best way I can describe it. I just could. I think just the interaction all night on Twitter with people and just every, again, it was such a sense of community. It was such an odd Twitter moment because, again, Twitter's a place where people talk smack and they're very toxic and just, you know, all the politics and all this just, ugh. And last night it was just like we were all in this thing together.
Right.
That's just what it felt like. We were all just like on the edge of our seats together and we're writing back and forth. And it was just a, you know, you get to say that very often. It was a cool night on Twitter. It really was.
Cool night on Twitter.
It really was. And even better was that I saw that the Astros had tweeted out from their team account, the Astros official team account had tweeted out. I'm going to see if I can find the actual tweet because it was – it didn't age well, as they like to say. It was like a collage of pics of them hitting, like crossing home plate and right. something along the lines of 6-0 after one inning. You love to see it, SEA. You love to see it. And I was like, oh. And then I wrote back after the game. I was like, see it. I get it. That's very clever. By the way, did you see SEA the score, the final score? How'd that work out for you? And that went crazy. People were retweeting that to the Astros account, which was good.
Because, wow, you've had two major strikes on Twitter.
Yeah.
You got Swervin' Irvin the other day.
Yeah, Irvin, that got up to, last check, 126 retweets.
Yeah.
He's seen it. He knows what's going on.
So the Astros,
yeah, I thought for the team account, that was a pretty bold thing to put out there, right? You love to see SEA. I'm like, really, the game's still going. I get it. You're crushing us. But
you know what I would have said, Bob? I just said, I guess you hit the trash can a little too early.
Yeah, there you go.
That wouldn't be funny.
There you go. But yeah, 6 runs in the first. You love to see it is what they tweeted from their account.
To see it, SEA.
Got yeah.
It. Yeah.
So I had to write back to them, and I got a bunch of likes, all that. But it was just fun. It was just a good night on Twitter. It was fun, and everybody was sort of in it together. And it was just odd because you do pull back and go, okay, yeah, it was game one of a series in the regular season that – you know, you got 61 games left in the season. But right. It just tells you that, A, how starved this city is for something to cling to for this Mariners team. People, as cynical as they are, they desperately want them to be good. Desperately want them to be good and give them a reason to be behind them and be, you know, just be invested. And I think this team is giving fans a reason to be excited and be optimistic and become invested.
Well, and thank God they're back for this. Okay, so we're getting ready to go out to training camp, and we're going to celebrate the fans, the 12s coming back to Lumen Field and everything. Remember the plays there, the fourth down stop to Cam Newton, the interception in the end zone, Dallas, the fourth down stop against Minnesota, the 4th and 10 to DK. I mean, all those things.
Those would have choked me up if the crowd was there.
Yeah, but I mean, can you imagine if there was no crowd here this year for the things that have gone on this year?
For that game last night.
Yeah. I mean,
we would have heard the players in the dugout.
Yeah. It just would have just been wasted. I mean, obviously, you want them to win and everything.
Yeah,
it's all about
the
team. But I think these guys are really feeding off of the crowd.
Oh, they've said as much. They've said it after the game. I mean, they absolutely are feeding off the crowd. And the crowds here, whether it's 30,000 or 15,000, they sound like 50. They are making a difference. And 2 outs was crucial for this team last night because that's where they scored a lot of 8 of the 11 runs came with 2 outs last night. How about that? The first 3 came with 1 out, and that's Cal Raleigh, the play you were talking about, the 3-run double.
And the pitch on the way to Raleigh, swinging a line drive into the gap. Right center field, extra bases. Crawford's going to score. Seager running third, being waved in by Manny. Now here comes France running third, being waved in by Manny. France will score. Cal Raleigh into second base with a bases clearing 3-run double, and it's now the Astros 7 and the Mariners 3.
And then you've got Kyle Seager with a laser home run with two outs.
And the 1-2 on the way to Seager. Swing and a well-hit ball. Deep to right field and goodbye baseball halfway up into the lower deck. Holy smokes, that was shot out of a cannon. Kyle Seager with his 19th home run of the season. And the Mariners keep fighting back. They keep fighting back and they're right back in the ball game. It's now the Astros 8 and the Mariners 6. And Kyle jumped on an 0-2 pitch from Luis Garcia. What a comeback.
Shed long, RBI single, two outs.
And a 1-0 pitch. Swung on, bounce through the left side, left center field. Torrens waved home. He'll score, and we got a one-run ball game. A single, an RBI for Shed Long. And the Astro lead is cut to 8-7 here in the sixth inning.
And then here's the capper, Dave.
Bases loaded, two outs.
Look at that. We're playing that. All three of us are just sitting here grinning ear to ear, just listening to that.
Again?
That's awesome.
Well, at the end of the year this year, I mean, I'm trying to think of all of the different things that we've had as far as Cal Raleigh's 344. I mean, the calls that we're going to look back on this season, It seems like there's like 50
of them. It
was
444.
What did I say?
344.
Oh.
Don't cheat the man.
Oh, sorry. Jeez. Wow. I really cheat. So, yeah, I mean, there's so many of the different ones, and it's just so good to have these fans back because, you know, like you said, it just wasn't the same last year, you know, with at Lumen Field. I mean, those were such great plays, but it just
– nothing was normal.
So missed that. Oh. You know, and everybody would have been on 10, just like Rabel. Rabel is on the call, and he did a great job of, you know, sort of ignoring the lack of crowd, but – I'm sure for these guys, it's so much more fun.
Yeah.
So just love the crack of Aaron Goldsmith's voice.
I know,
I love Rick Riz. And, you know, we're lucky. We're blessed up here with some great calls.
Oh, it was so much fun. So much fun. So, yeah, for those of you on Twitter, that was fun last night. And you can go ahead and retweet the Astros if you want. We did it yesterday. 126 retweets to the A's starter who was talking smack about the Mariners. And then you've got the Astros who were talking smack about you love to see it. You got out ahead of yourselves there, didn't you? So
they're making a real competition out of this thing of whether we hate the Houston or
we're gonna
or the
have
A's.
Can you have two hated rivals, or do we have to narrow it down to
one?
It
used to be like that in the Kingdom, right? Raiders come in here, we hate them. Denver comes in here, we hate them.
I think I hate the Astros more because they cheated.
I'm still on the A's, man.
Are you? I mean, it's close. It's neck and neck, but I think it's our duty just to really harass them on Twitter as much as possible. Do what you can. It's right there. So, I tweeted that out in response to their you love to see it after they didn't see the scoreboard at the end of the game. All right, coming up, one move might have been the difference in that Mariners win. We'll tell you what we're talking about next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Coming up at the top of the hour, Mike Blowers will join us on the program. We will discuss, obviously, everything that went on last night, everything else going on with the Mariners. Scott Servais is a guy that we know gets a lot of criticism.
Does he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he does.
Okay, I'm not on the tweeter.
You're not on the tweeter.
We get it every once in a while on the text.
Yeah, it happens on the text. It happens on the tweeter. just, you know, if we were to take phone calls, it would happen there. But that's, as I've told you, for me, that's part of the advantage of having lived in some of these other cities, is saying it's not unique to here. I know everybody feels like these problems are unique, and they have a great manager. We've got this guy. I was with Tony La Russa, the creep that he is, who knows baseball well, they're better than anybody, and same criticisms of him and Dusty Baker when I was in Chicago. And so it's not unique. Mike Socha in L.A. when I was out there, won a World Series, same criticisms. So it's not unique to Seattle, but he made the moves, leaving. I thought they were going to yank McCacken. I thought, all right, you got to get this guy out of here. He's just throwing batting practice out there. It's going to be 12-0 after two innings. But he went with him. He ends up giving you four innings, which – it's not great, but it's better than getting yanked in the first or second and really, really just taxing that bullpen right out of the gate in game one of the series. He brings in Graveman in the eighth. That move worked, obviously. Yeah. He pinch hits for Shed Long, who had two hits on the night. Tom Murphy comes in after Jared Kelnick has a tremendous at-bat. I want to give that kid credit, as we talked about, for as bad as he is struggling, and he is struggling. For him to do that after striking out three times, to have the discipline not to chase up there, was almost a miracle. So he works the walk. Tom Murphy comes up right behind him, works the walk, and then that allows Dylan Moore to get into that spot. So that worked out. And then just watching him go nuts after J.P. Crawford got hit. Mm-hmm. I loved it. I wanted him to run out on the field. I wanted him to throw his hat and go Lou Piniella, kick the hat around and kick dirt on the shoes of the umpire, or challenge Dusty to a fight or something. Just seeing him as angry as I've ever seen him and standing up for his player, I thought was very valuable, was very cool. And I heard J.P. Crawford interviewed after the game, and they were asking him about it. You know, how do you feel about that when you see that? And he's like, oh, I'm with that guy. Like, that is a galvanizing thing, seeing your manager. And J.P., I'll tell you this, they asked him, do you think you were plunked on purpose? He goes, no. He goes, no, they pitch me inside all the time. I don't think he was trying to hit me. But Scott Service disagreed, and he went on to say that he was glad that Brooks Raley got ejected.
You can't speak to, you know, what's going on in the pitcher's mind, whatever, but certainly with all the emotion in that game and how, you know, we were celebrating and whatnot, you know, you can take it for whatever it's worth. I thought, you know, you can't let pitches get away like that and hit somebody after you give up a grand slam. But again, was it on purpose? I don't know, but things happen in the game, very emotional game, and I'm glad he got ejected.
He answered that perfectly, really, because he's like, it was sort of like Lou Piniella saying, well, it's just one of those things that happen after he throws all the bats out on the field and kicks first base and all that stuff. But, you know, I mean, you have to, I think early on when we first started doing this show, this is back in 2012 or 13, and I started really following baseball, you would hear that it's really important to the players that the manager sticks up for him. And I guess I didn't really get it. Now I get it. Now I get it, because every single player will tell you that, you know, I know that guy has my back.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I feel like he just has such a good relationship with these guys. But another thing I wanted to mention, if we got a chance to talk to Dylan Moore, he got beat up. He got beat up and down in the dugout.
Oh, yeah, Tom Murphy.
Oh, my gosh.
He turned around and threw his helmet at him.
Threw his helmet at Murphy. Yeah, and they're all, like, hitting him on the rear end, and they're, you know, punching him and pushing him. And I'm like, man, somebody's going to get hurt in there.
Yeah.
I just think they were so fired up, nobody felt anything. But, I mean, Scott has created that. He's created that kind of atmosphere there. So, yeah, I love that. And that's interesting. You know, I had not seen the, you know, the comments from JP about, yeah, I didn't think that he was trying to hit me. The Kelnick, the pitches that he laid off of, because I know on the walk-off wild pitch, he got on base. He was the guy that scored.
Mm-hmm.
He laid off of two pitches when he was down in the count that were down and away. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the pitches last night that he let go. Were they similar?
Yes. Yes. He's an absolute victim to off-speed away.
Yeah.
He's chasing, and the book is out, because that's what he's striking out on. That's what he did in his first three at-bats. That's what he's been doing. I mean, it's not a secret. He's going to chase soft and away. So they're throwing him breaking balls. They're throwing him splitters, and it's almost automatic. I mean, again, he struck out three times last night. You're going, oh, boy, here we go. And for him to – I was amazed. I mean, that was as good as a hit to me. I'm like, he did it. I applaud that at-bat because of – you can see the intensity. You can just see how tense he is up there. And he just desperately wants to come through. And I could just see him in that moment. He gets a chance to be a hero here, and maybe he's going to try to force the situation, and he didn't do it. And it ended up, to me, being as good as a hit in that moment, because it allowed what happened to happen. He chases, the inning's over.
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, that's part of it, and we'll hear it from Blowers later. Baby steps, you know, one little thing at a time. I thought it was interesting also, Mike Cameron was coming on, came on and was talking about Kelnick smiling and, you know, and just his – he does seem like he does take it pretty hard. And so, you know, maybe that's something that he's got to let go. But, I mean, what do you want to see him smile? I mean, what do you expect? The guy's had nothing but success his whole life. Now he's not having it. So he's just going to have to figure it out. But it does seem like, and it's really cool watching him develop. And I think we'll remember this. You know, if he becomes the guy, the player that we think he is, and everybody seems to think he is, you'll look back on some of these moments that he had that were part of his growth, his development. And it's kind of interesting to watch. Now, I'd rather see him hit home runs. And, yeah. You know, I wrote last night, this is a spot where Kelenic really needs to get a hit, you know, and it didn't happen. But, you know, there's these other things that are happening that I think are helping him along.
Yeah, it's, I guess, baby steps. You just little moments of success, and hopefully they can, you know, start to snowball a bit. But, yeah, I mean, in terms of coming through with hits and things, he's struggling big time. But it worked out last night in a very big way. We got Mike Blowers coming. I got to play this one more time.
Bases loaded, two outs.
I love that they left that gap there. Just let it breathe. Let the crowd do it. Yep. That was awesome. That was awesome. All right, we'll come back. Talk to one half of that play-by-play right there. Mike Blowers will join us next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.